decision and this appeal of this letter during the process of plan construction. A district court may import a process of manufacturing limitation into an apparatus claim by relying on extrinsic evidence when that extrinsic evidence contradicts the intrinsic evidence of record and specifically the specification of the patent.
Well, you kind of invited the predicament you're in now, did you not, by suggesting in your own claim construction that perforated the a major portion of that, correct?
Correct, but we never suggested or argued that perforated requires piercing or puncture. The word perforated merely means having holes, which are defined as openings, or perforation.
Well, except that the district court or the other side would say to that, I think, is that, well, that's not exactly what you said in prosecution history, because there you gave the definition of perforated, of screening that includes perforated, and here you have the same screening, so why shouldn't you be left to how you defined it in prosecution history?
Because we did not define in the prosecution history the word perforated. Nowhere in the prosecution history was the definition of the word perforated at issue.
No. Well, it's perforated isn't even the claim, is it?
Correct. What happened is, in this case,
we're construing the screening medium.
We are construing the screening medium, and a person of ordinary skill in the art recognizes that a screening medium is a perforated barrier. But perforated does not mean punctured or pierced.
But you may be right about that, okay? But the district court perhaps was a little bit off, but doesn't the prosecution history suggest that you start with a solid piece of metal or perhaps a ceramic or something like that and put holes in it, as opposed to creating a screen by assembling multiple pieces of metal the way
the answer to that question is no. The prosecution history does not discuss whatsoever how the screening medium is folded. Nowhere in the prosecution history is there any discussion of how a screening medium is folded. It's simply not an issue during prosecution.
Well, I'm not sure that that's correct. These references to the handbook lead to conflict starting with a solid metal plate and putting holes in. And in fact, the FEMA reference describes the industry practice of creating these screening mediums, or what they were placed on, to describe it. And they all describe starting with a solid piece and putting holes in it, either by cutting or piercing or punching or various methodologies. I don't see any reference, for example, in FEMA or in the handbook of the prosecution that suggested that talking about creating a screen for multiple pieces of metal as opposed to taking something solid and putting holes in it.
Well, I think that the specification addresses that. The specification specifically states that white wire may be used. And the specification,
well, the question is whether you gave that up.
Well,
in the prosecution history,
well, you just didn't reflect. I think that's a fair point, but to give it up, there must be a statement during prosecution that wedge wire is excluded from the claim, or that the word perforated means puncturing or piercing, and that never happened. Clearly, during prosecution, that did not occur.
Well, but perforated may not be limited to punching and piercing, but doesn't perforate, even if you start with the addiction, you need to start with solid piece and put holes in.
No, absolutely not. Perforated merely means, if you look in the dictionary, having holes or openings or perforations. A perforated barrier can be made in a number of different ways. It can be made by taking liquid metal, putting it into a mold, cooling it so it has holes in it, and that is absolutely common, a common way to make screening medium. In addition, claim I believe 21 talks about a screening medium being made of ceramic. You cannot puncture or pierce ceramic. If you puncture or pierce ceramic, it will shatter. I think it's clear from the specification and the claims that that the invention was no way limited to making these openings by process.
But the ceramic, wouldn't even start with the little pieces of metal and make a ceramic screen out of either, would it?
With little pieces of metal to make a ceramic?
Or little pieces of ceramic to make a screen?
Oh, absolutely, you could. You absolutely can.
What's the evidence that was industrial product?
You can make a screening medium by using wire bars, which are made of ceramic, or by casting ceramic. Ceramic is made by casting it in a mold, just like liquid metal being cast in a mold, the same way. The prosecution history in this case, there was no dispute or discussion on how a screening medium must be formed. None whatsoever. It just was not an issue during the prosecution. So to give this up by saying that Advanced Fiber indicated that a perforated barrier is a screening medium, I think is incorrect, because Advanced Fiber took the ordinary definition of perforated to mean having holes in it. A perforated barrier means just having holes. And that's what the dictionary definition said. The problem that the district court had was it relied upon the wrong definition in dictionaries. It relied upon the dictionary definition of the verb perforate. Now, the verb perforate means puncture or pierce. However, the adjective perforated does not.
It's a structural term, not a process term.
Absolutely. And that was the problem. That's why we have reversible error in this particular case.
But that doesn't address the problem, whether you have to start with a single piece, either by doing it as a mold or by cutting it or whatever, because that's what the handbook that they refer to in the prosecution history seems to contemplate.
But it's not exclusive, and it doesn't explicitly state that it must start out as a piece of metal and be punctured or pierced. Nowhere in the handbook does it say that. But I think that's the standard. There's a disavowal.
It may not say that it has to be punctured or pierced, but it certainly suggests that it's not, that you're starting with a single piece of metal or something like that and creating holes in it, as opposed to starting with wire and constructing a wedge wire screen.
No, I don't believe that it does suggest that. I don't believe that it is exclusive to that, and I don't believe that the prosecution history is relevant to that particular point, because there was no discussion on how these spots or openings must be made in the prosecution history. Simply none whatsoever. The district court actually ignored the specification of the patent suit. In its decision, the district court specifically stated that its definition of perforated was contradictory to the specification, because the specification stated explicitly that wedge wire may be used.
Is it your argument that screening medium itself includes wedge wire?
Screening medium absolutely may include wedge wire, a wedge wire structure. Wedge wire are pieces of wire that are aligned together next to each other so that they create slots in between. And a screening medium may be made of wedge wire. It also may be made by taking metal and puncturing or piercing holes in it. But the specification clearly contemplates both types of screening mediums.
At least in eight words.
But it's not a question of how many words. It's a question of whether or not the specification teaches that. And a person of ordinary skill in the art would recognize when the specification states that wedge wire may be used, that wedge wire is covered by the claim. And a review of the prosecution history does not dispute that, because there's nothing in the prosecution history where Advanced Fiber said the definition of perforated means pierced or punctured, or that wedge wire is not covered by the claims. Simply not an issue during prosecution.
Can I ask you a housekeeping question in case the time comes up? And that is, we've got the other limitation with regard to the millimeters with the swab.
Yes.
Assuming that we were to agree with you on the perforation and that claim term, where does it leave this case? Assuming we agree with the district court on the limitation with respect to millimeters, does that still mean non-infringement? Does that mean you have to go back and figure out what the other side does?
least enter a judgment of infringement, we don't want the accused products to meet that limitation.
Because Jamie never argued that it did not during the course of litigation, including before the district court.
Did not argue
that its slot sizes were less than a quarter of a millimeter because they were not. J&L's only argument of non-infringement was that its screening was made much wider.
So why was this even an issue? Why did this even come up?
Because it was limited J&L's damage that goes down to infringement. That's why it came up.
You'd like to say the
remaining
time?
Yes, I would, John.
Thank you for that, Paul. Mr. Cross.
Good morning, Mayor. Perforated is the operative term, even though it does not appear in any of the claims.
Or
any specification, although it does appear in the specification.
But in a different context.
In a slightly different context. But it appears if it was imported into the claim because AFC acted as its own lexicographer during the issue and cited the handbook definitions to the patent office to overcome the Gillespie wedge-wire test and thereby made perforated and imported that into every place you see screened in the claims.
I thought the thing with the lexicographer refers to specification.
You could be your own lexicographer during prosecution as well. And there really is no dispute that perforated is
bound by what you've asserted. That would mean to fiddle with the language here.
You can be bound in here that this course, Sin Ord Chem case makes it clear that once you choose to be your own lexicographer in prosecution, you are bound by that definition. And the recognition is look at the claim construction they have proposed on appeal. It has meant the word perforated. Now, as we pointed out in our brief, they actually had advocated below Judge Kahn the word perforation, and then on appeal they criticized him for looking at the dictionary definitions of.
But didn't their proposed claim construction also say perforated or open? It wasn't limited to just perforated.
Correct. It was perforation, or they proposed two different ones. Initially, they proposed perforations or openings, and I can give you the record site. It's actually in their briefs. They showed how they progressed, and then ultimately they asked the judge to construe perforated because they understood they had acted as an own
lexicographer. They seem to agree that perforated is a relevant term
correct
on prosecution. They just said the judge has the wrong definition of perforated, which doesn't require piercing fraction or requires holes, and which requires holes. That's what I argue.
I agree, but there are times in their brief that you kind of lose track of the fact that they are the ones that imported perforated into the claim language. So we're really not, that's the operative term, we're really not construing screening medium in its larger sense. We're past that because they define screening medium to have a perforated barrier in it. Now, that gets us to what perforated means. And the judge correctly looked at and correctly construed that term by looking at dictionary definitions, including the dictionary definitions from a standard Webster's dictionary of holes that AFT has cited. Now, at page A2378 of the appendix is the technical dictionary that we have cited, McGraw-Hill technical dictionary, and it has perforate means to puncture or pierce. It has perforated completion. It's a well completion in which the production casing or liner is pierced. It goes on to talk about a perforated metal, which, as Your Honor pointed out, sheet metal with round, square, diamond, or rectangular perforations, goes on, perforated plate, and as Your Honor pointed out, it contemplates making holes through something solid. And that is carried through into the perforated plate, which uses the word holes. And if we go to the Webster's Dictionary, which we'll turn to in more depth later, holes are defined as perforations. So we keep coming back to the word perforations, which is the word that they proposed to Judge Kahn. And if you go down to the technical definition of perforation, it is any hole made by boring, punching, or piercing. Now, if we change, so those are the technical dictionaries.
It's not a process limitation.
No, it's not a process. And Your Honor has made clear in the Mikan case and other cases that if a patentee uses words that carry with them process connotations, there is absolutely nothing wrong with construing them the way they are ordinarily used to include those connotations. That would be the Mikan case. That was the case where there was the word, I believe, insert in an apparatus claim. And there was the same argument made. And the court, Your Honor, this court said, well, look, you chose that word. You put it in your apparatus claim. And you have to take the connotations that come with it. There's nothing improper about that. We agree that. So now turning to the Webster's Dictionary definition. Perforate. And again, all of this goes back to the meaning of perforate in all of its various variations. And the etymology of the word, as Webster's makes clear, is in Latin, per, which means through, and forer, which means for. So you get this concept of boring through a solid throughout all of the definitions of perforate, perforated, perforations, including the standard dictionary definitions. So perforate specifically says to make a hole through. And then if you go to the definition of hole, which is on the next page, it says an opening through something, perforation. So we're back, a hole itself means perforation. It's a particular type of hole.
The real issue with the definition of perforation, whether it's binding, in terms of the fine term screening medium.
I agree. The
screening medium, in and of itself, looks like it covers
absolutely. And that's exactly why the examiner, in reissue, when he came across the Gillespie wedge wire reference, said it was structurally indistinguishable from what they had claimed, from the very broad claim language of screening medium. And it was then that they became their own lexicographer.
Following up to your approach, you agree that if we don't agree with you on that point, that the holes in the slots issue need be remanded because you did not do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But you didn't argue that you didn't infringe.
Oh, we absolutely did argue that we didn't infringe. We argued that we had certain, about half of the accused products have slot width that aren't within the maximum slot width.
Yeah, but your friend on the other side said, but if we agree with the judge on the slot width, it becomes a question of damages.
Correct.
Is that
well, it becomes.
Right. I mean, you can see there's some infringement. You
correct.
The question is how much.
There would be some infringement, except for we do have the validity issues that remain open and would have to be remanded. Pardon me. I'm sorry. But back to the issue here is really not so much a claim disclaimer argument with respect to them using the word perforated. It is a them becoming their own lexicographer argument. And the court has made clear, also in the Sinor Chem case, that Once you become your own lexicographer during prosecution, you are stuck with the definitions that you have adopted, especially here, when they were trying to get around the Wedgwire prior art patent. And at that point, whatever, what you say in the specification becomes much less significant because...
Well, this is kind of a step removed, though. If they became their own lexicographer, it wasn't for purposes of construing screening. It was for purposes of saying that screening medium involves perforation. They didn't become their own lexicographer with respect to the prosecution history in terms of how limited perforation. So we're kind of step removed.
Correct, but you do need to give perforated its ordinary meaning. And that's claim construction. And because of the rule that says that if there is any doubt about what a claim term means, it should be construed in favor of the public, the accused infringer, and against the party who picked those particular terms to claim their invention. They did not claim. They knew about Wedgwire during the issue. They knew about my client's Wedgwire construction. They very clearly could have claimed Wedgwire. They didn't. They did just the opposite. They went narrow to get their reissue claims allowed. And then once we come out into prosecution and into infringement, they go wrong.
Well, is that correct? I mean, maybe I'm missing something, but in the prosecution history that I think you're referring to on the last page, it seemed to me, and maybe I'm missing it, the context in which this so-called definition of screenplay and perforating was to just, they were making this argument, which was ultimately rejected, right? That the palm art treatment is different than the treatment of the word in other industries. It wasn't like it has to be perforation or else we're going to lose our patent on validity, right? It was kind of a different comment.
It was slightly different. The examiner did say, I understand that Gillespie is not pulp and paper and that you're claiming your invention is limited to that. He made that very clear. So that wasn't the reason why he allowed the claims after they redefined screening medium to be perforated. This is a being your own lexicographer situation. The spot width is a very clear prosecution disclaimer situation.
I think we both agree that there's a distinction between the kind of prosecution history and the context.
There is, but what we have here is they have now defined screening medium to import into it perforated. Now we need to determine what perforated means.
Because they say that in the pulp and paper industry, it has a special meaning that requires perforated.
And in the art, as well as not, well, in the patent, there is the reference to perforated plate. At column 2, lines 66 and 67. And then at column 8.
Yeah, which is not screening.
Understood.
But it is.
But it also goes on further to talk about what perforated means. And it says punch or drill. That would be at column 8. Lines 47 through 52, and again at column 11, lines 15 through 17. So the patent specification itself is consistent with this punching, piercing, boring thing.
I'm sorry, just bear with me.
What's
column 8?
Column 8, lines, it's right around lines 51, 52. That's the paragraph where it's talking about the backing plate, which is previously described as a perforated plate. Sure, but it could be cut, for example, as well, and that would be perfect. Now,
in column 11, the word for Wedgwire. So
correct. Yeah, but it also doesn't say that is a preferred embodiment, and you can't use the specification after you've narrowed the claim language during prosecution to then in enforcement broaden it again, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. Now, there is additional evidence of what people in the art, as Judge Dyke pointed out, understands perforated to mean, and that is the Johnson screen brochure in addition to the two articles, the Pima and New Wave article. We had a copy of this in our brief, but it's small. But if you look at page 935, this is a prior art brochure, and it is made by, it shows Johnson Screens, a well-known manufacturer of screens for use in pulp and paper and lots of other things. It shows a perforated plate, pulled through a solid. It shows a wire mesh. And then here it describes what they refer to as V-shaped wires, which is the same as wedge wire. And they differentiate between the three. In the art, wedge wire is a different term than perforated. And we also show what the Johnson Screens wedge wire looks like at page 5 of our brief. It looks like the classic picket fence with slats being the equivalent to the wires, and the spaces or interstices, one of my partners said, oh, that's not a hole, that's an interstices between the slats. And that's what this is. And that's important because that's the way they define their invention.
Mr. Cross, very good brief is covered up in the red line, which is on.
That's not quite on.
Rather than come backwards.
Okay, sorry.
We're going to have to screen you off for further
audience. Very nice.
Thank you. Let's continue to have to move along. Mr. Cross says you can adopt a perforation definition for screening.
And it's absolutely incorrect, because the definition of perforation is not the definition at issue. It's perforated to the extent that the district court judge incorporated perforated into his construction of screening medium. I agree with Mr. Cross that it is the ordinary definition of perforated which was at issue.
Would you agree that perforated is the right term?
Perforated is the correct term when construed consistent with the specification.
So you're disagreeing about what perforated means in the context.
Absolutely. We are disagreeing with what perforated means. The district court found perforated means to perforate. Instead of just looking at the ordinary Merriam-Webster's dictionary of the word perforated.
Well, perforated does not include wedge wire, which is
not perforated. Well, if you look up the definition of perforated, you're not going to see wedge wire there. What you will see is having holes or perforations. And the definition of holes is openings in the same dictionary. So perforated means having holes or openings.
Having holes in what would otherwise
be solid.
That's right.
Exactly.
And wedge wire is not that.
It is. It has holes in what would otherwise
be built to have openings.
If you build it together, it would be solid. You build it so it's spaced apart, so it would have openings. Here's what happened during prosecution. During prosecution, the claims were rejected over Gillespie. Gillespie was distinguished on the basis that it did not disclose a screen cylinder. It did not disclose the process of separating wood pulp fibers from other particles. It was not a screen cylinder and did not have a screening need. It was not distinguished on the basis that it was punctured or pierced. In fact, that was not discussed at all during prosecution. And if you read the prosecution history, it's fairly clear that Gillespie was distinguished on the basis that it was not a screen cylinder. It did not function to separate particles from wood pulp fibers. That's it. Perforated, the definition of perforated was not an issue during prosecution. There's no lexicography issue, and there's no disclaimer of subject matter issue.
Didn't this report say ASC suggests the term means having holes or perforation?
Absolutely. Having holes or perforation. And the definition of holes is openings. That is absolutely correct. And That is a definition which is consistent with the specification. And in construing claims, the specification is the primary guide to construing claims. So we should be construing claims so that they are consistent with the specification. And having holes or perforations, when the definition of holes is just an opening, is consistent with the specification discussion of wedge wire being used. I think this case,
deal with the McGraw-Hill definition of perforation?
Perforation is not the word that needs to be defined.
So perforation is different from perforate?
Absolutely. Perforate is a verb, perforation is a noun, and perforate is an adjective. They all have different definitions in the regular ordinary dictionaries. But the definition of perforated is the one that should have been used by the district court, and it was not. And the definition of perforated simply means having holes, which if you look at the definition of holes, means openings or perforations. That's why the district court said in its claim construction. I see my time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you.